Well, let's see what we can do with this morning. Let's start in Isaiah, the 55th chapter. I said to Pastor John just before I came to the pulpit that I know we have his word today, but normally I'm a fairly organized sort of a fella and fairly structured sort of a fella. And it just bugs some people just real bad. I guess you would call me a button-down sort of a guy. And I'm that way with the things of God as well. When I come to the pulpit, typically, I mean, I have the mind of the Lord. I know what it is He wants to do. It doesn't mean that He doesn't change it from time to time. But also, I have it organized. You know, I know that, okay, He wants to say this, and He wants to say it in this sequence and in this way. Today, I know what He wants to say, but I don't know what sequence He wants to say it in. So I'm not very well organized today, and I guess maybe that's why the Lord's ministering to me so sweetly, because I said to Him over there as we were, as you were singing, leading us there, at the while the offering was being received, that I'm lost without You. I'm desperate for You. You know, if you, I don't know if you can really appreciate the opportunity that is granted a man to stand behind this pulpit and to speak forth the Word of God. And even though I've been doing it for 25 years, I do not take it for granted. It still is a rare privilege and a rare honor. We have 100 and some odd people who have gathered here this morning expecting to hear the word of the Lord. And it's incumbent upon that not only is a privilege for me to bring the word, but it's incumbent upon me to be sure that I do it not in my own strength, but in the anointing of the Holy Spirit and with everything that I have to bring to the table, so to speak. And even after all these years, I feel that very keenly. And I want to be sure that when we say the amen this morning, that we have heard the word of the Lord. And I promise to you to do all I can to see that that comes forth. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Now, this is not my message this morning. This is just an aside. But the Lord may be found today, and if you need Him, seek Him today. Turn to Him today. Receive Him today, and His mercy will be yours. Sometimes we get this idea that, well, I've got plenty of time, but we don't really know that. We don't know that. We think we've got many years ahead of us, but we don't know if we've got another 5 minutes. We don't know if we've got the rest of today. Things happen. And things happen to cause life to come to an end very quickly. And when there's an opportunity to make arrangements for eternity, you want to take advantage of it. Verse 8 continues, and this takes me into the thrust of the message this morning. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, this creates a real problem for us. It creates a problem not only for Christians, it creates a problem for, especially for those that have not embraced the Word of God and received Jesus as Lord and Savior. God says clearly here, you don't think like I do. You don't act like I do. Your whole perspective on life and all of the facets of life are very, very different from mine. My thoughts are not only different from yours, they're higher than yours. My ways are not only different from yours, my ways are higher than yours. All right, problem. How will we ever understand God's ways? How can we ever understand how God thinks? How can we ever have an understanding of the way God moves? How can we ever, if we're going to be part of His kingdom, how are we ever going to understand how the kingdom works? Have you ever said to yourself or to another person, someone trying to share with you spiritual things, I just don't understand? Have you ever thought that to yourself? You're reading the Word, for example, and you read in the beginning where it says that God in 6 days said, bang, 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 and it all appeared. I don't understand. Have you ever read in the Word where Jesus is holy God and holy man and found yourself saying to yourself, I don't understand that? Have you ever tried to share with an unbeliever and have that unbeliever say, I don't understand? Several weeks ago, I was called to jury service. We lived down in Carroll County, and I served down in Carrollton on a jury. The case was, I was surprised to actually be chosen for the jury because normally, in the past, when they find out I'm a pastor, they just reject me. For some reason, they wanted me this time. It was a medical malpractice suit. A young woman had given birth prematurely to a little girl who had a condition known as cerebral palsy. And she was suing her obstetrician for poor care and so on, and that's the reason that the child was born that way, and they were after somewhere between $8 and $10 million for that. In the course of that trial, we heard many expert witnesses, most of them medical doctors, highly educated men. They came from all over the country, New York, Chicago, Alabama, so on. One doctor, this one in particular, he came from Chicago. He was an obstetrician from a suburb of Chicago. He was an expert witness for those that were suing, doing the suing. And on the stand, the lawyer is asking him, of course, a variety of questions, and one of the questions that he was asking, this is the plaintiff's attorney, and plaintiff being the parents of the child, asked the doctor, the part of the testimony that they were trying to elicit from him was that this child had no hope in the future of ever being any different than what she was. And of course, they brought the child in to the courtroom, and you could see the condition that she had, and it was a sad thing to watch. And so they asked the doctor about the child's future prognosis, and the doctor gave his prognosis, and then the lawyer said to him, and so you don't believe in miracles then, do you, doctor? And I thought to myself, I'll bet God is listening to this answer. Because here's a question asked under oath in public. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? The lawyer says, so you don't believe in miracles, do you? And the doctor said, no, I don't. Now here's a man who doesn't understand the ways of God, the thoughts of God, or how God works. And there are lots like him. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. New Testament, verse number 14. If we have time, we'll come back to this and we'll go to the earlier verses, but I want to zero in on verse 14. This is a familiar one. But the natural man, now the word natural here is a word that comes from the Greek word, the root is psuche, and the word natural as it's translated here comes from a Greek word that means a person who gets all of his information from his natural senses, from the soulish realm. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. And I'm going to read that this way. I'm going to substitute some words in here because of the thrust of what I'm trying to get across this morning. Now hang with me. But the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he understand them, because they are spiritually understood. You get the picture? The natural man can never understand the things of God, because God's things are higher than his mind can reach. Many Christians are also afflicted with this same malady. How is it? Yes, I'm born again, I'm saved, I've got my sins forgiven and so on. But how is it that God could really love me knowing what kind of a guy I am? How could he love me unconditionally? I know things about myself. I don't understand this. We might say, why is it that the little boy in Birmingham, Alabama in the 50s got a complete deliverance from his birth condition, but I can't get healed of a headache? I don't understand. Luke chapter 8. Whoa, thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 8. Now, this will get all over some of you, so get prepared for it. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus has just taught using the parable of the sower. And verse number 9, his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. In other words, to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to others in parables, I speak in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now, what does that say to you? I'll tell you what it says to me. It says, God wants certain people to understand his thoughts and ways. But there are other people he doesn't want to understand. Is that what it says? And so he does some things to see to it that some do understand and some don't. Well, that's a capricious God. I'm not going to love and serve a God like that who would withhold understanding. The Bible doesn't say he withholds it. It says he institutes ways that people can understand so that those who will not adopt the ways will never come to an understanding. And what's the way? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. And this is the linchpin of what I believe the Lord wants to tell us today. Hebrews chapter 11. It was some time ago that this revelation became a part of my life, and I preached on it at that time. I'd never heard anybody preach quite out of this passage this way. But then the other day, you were preaching out of Romans or out of Hebrews 11. And as you read down through that, this thing just jumped off the page again at me, and I knew that sooner or later we were going to be dealing with it. I want to read verse. Remember that that Hebrews chapter 11 is the story of God's faithful. It's God's hall of faith, his hall of fame. The men and women of faith who did mighty, mighty deeds because of their faith. And I'm going to take one verse and I'm going to lift it right out of here. And then I'm going to take four words and lift them right out of the verse. Now be prepared to get a revelation here. Verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. All right, what is the apostle saying here? Pick out the first four words and read them with me. Through faith we understand. Do it again. Through faith we understand. Once more. Through faith, we understand. You get it? God releases understanding in His high thoughts and His high ways only one through one means. That is not the natural means, not through the means of sight, not through the means of hearing and touch, but through the spiritual force of faith. Through faith, we can understand God. Whoa. Whoa. Now see, we, living in the natural, most of us, we have this idea, if I can see it, I'll believe it. In fact, Missouri has developed a whole statewide reputation on that fact, haven't they? Missouri is the show me state, isn't it? Show me and I'll believe it. Seeing is believing. Isn't that one of the first things you learned? You didn't learn believing is seeing. You learned seeing is believing, didn't you? But see, that's absolutely 180 degrees out of the way the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of God works, believe, and then you will see. A man came to Jesus one day. Actually, he'd come to his disciples first. The disciples couldn't help him. He had a boy child that was demon-possessed. And he came to Jesus and he told Jesus the story that periodically the devil gets a hold of my son and throws him in the fire trying to kill him. And then at other times you'll throw him in a deep water and try to kill him that way. If you can, you can help him. And what did Jesus say? He said, Mark chapter 9 is where the story is. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible unto thee. All right? If you can believe, all things are possible. Now, the man did not say what most of us would have said. Show me, and then I'll believe. What he said was, if that's the case, I recognize the problem's in me. Help my unbelief. I do believe, but help my unbelief. Because it's through my belief that I'm going to walk in the ways of God and I'm going to understand the thoughts of God. Now say it again, four words. Through faith, we understand. Now how is your experience like mine? Let's just take the creation, because the third verse of chapter 11 talks about the creation. It says that the only way we can ever understand how all of this came to be out of nothing is not through scientific inquiry. It is through what? It's through faith. Now, I, like most of us, probably had this difficulty. I went through school and I studied all the phyla and the classes of the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom and how all of this developed and so on. Even back in the 50s, we were learning evolution in school. And that is the way the natural man understands the creation of the world, isn't it? Now you get that, and then you go to Sunday school, and they teach you in Sunday school that 6 days God made everything that there is. Now you've got a problem. My teachers in school, whom I am instructed to believe and follow and listen to, are telling me one thing. My Sunday school teachers, whom I am instructed to believe and follow, are telling me something completely different. What do I do? Do you know what I did? I said, you know, I think what happened, I want to understand this. And this is what I believe happened. I'm going to understand this in this way. A day is not really a day. A day may be a billion years. And so God actually did this in 6 of His days. Are you listening? But 6 of His days are not 6 of our days. That could have been 20 billion years like the scientists are telling us. And He just used evolution to gradually bring this to pass. Now that is the natural man trying to understand the things of God. And that's what I believed until I made a decision. The most important decision in all my life that I ever made. And I'm going to take you to it right now. You can hold your finger there in Hebrews. We'll probably be back to it. But turn to Psalms 119. You say, well, Pastor Vic, the most important decision you ever made was when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. No. No, that wasn't the most important decision I ever made. Because I never could have made Jesus the Lord of my life had I not made the decision I'm about to show you. And I didn't make this decision on the basis of this scripture, but subsequently I found this scripture and it became a theme scripture for my life. And it declares what I did in my 30s. Verse 128. Did I tell you Psalm 119? Verse 128. Let's read it aloud together. If you have a King James, you follow along with me. Therefore, I esteem all concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Now, do you understand what that verse says? I have made a decision, David said. We believe this is David's psalm. I have made a decision to consider that everything God said concerning everything is right. Now, when I made that decision, that was a declaration of faith for me. You understand? I decided that if God said it, I would believe it, and that settled it, and everything else to the contrary was a false way. Now then, what happened in my life? Well, one of the things that happened was I understood the creation. I do. I understand it. I understand exactly what happened. The word understand means to perceive in such a way that you bring all of the things together and make sense out of them. That's what to understand means. I can stand before you today and I understand the creation. Well, what do you understand about the creation? I understand there were 6 literal days, just like the Word said. God spoke with His mouth in power and said, "Let it be," and it was. I understand it perfectly. It's simple. It is so simple, it absolutely blows my mind that it took me over 30 years to find this out. Amen. I understand how Jesus can be fully God and fully man. I understand it. I do. I understand it. How do you understand it, Pastor Vic? Through faith, I understand. There's no confusion whatsoever. I'm not the least bit confused. The sinner asks, how is it that a man could come down from heaven, be born without a natural father, have a virgin for a mother, live a life here, die on a cross? That one man's death means the salvation of all of the world. Now, the natural man doesn't understand that. Do you? You do understand it, don't you? You're not the least bit confused about that, are you? You never will be confused. Why? 4 words. Through faith, we understand. What is it that we don't understand about healing, for example? What we don't understand about healing reveals what we don't believe yet about healing. Now, somebody say amen. What we don't understand reveals what we don't yet believe. Because through faith, the Bible says, we will understand. If we believe, we will understand. Do you have an understanding now of how much God loves you? How do you have that? Have you ever seen it? Have you seen His love? You've seen the evidence of it, but you haven't actually seen the love force, have you? You know He loves you. Why? You believe what He said. You believe what He said. Now, Jesus said, I teach in parables. Somebody asked the question, why is the Bible so hard to understand? That's a very simple answer. He made it purposely hard to understand so that the natural man would never get it other than by the expression of faith. It's only by faith that we can please God. It's only by faith that we can come to Him. It's not, I see it and therefore I believe it. No. Therefore, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will. In God's economy, believing always precedes receiving. Whether it's salvation, whether it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whether it's bodily healing, whether it's prosperity, whether it's peace, whether it's understanding of what you're reading. It's God's purpose to withhold. Now listen, it is God's purpose to withhold that which gives life from anyone who wants to understand it with only natural faculties. I'm going to say that again. It is God's purpose. On purpose He did this. Jesus said it in Luke 8:10. On purpose. God has hidden the things that will bring life to the dead man, but He releases it if the dead man will simply believe, to anyone, whosoever will. Now, this gives us understanding, doesn't it, about why. Have you ever wondered why God set in the garden a tree of life? That if you eat of that, you live forever? But when Adam and Eve sinned, remember what He did? He drove them, what's the word? He drove them out of the garden, and at the gate of the garden, He set cherubim with flaming swords. So that in that condition, they could not get back into the garden, eat of the tree of life, and live forever like that. I mean, it's easy, isn't it? Once you understand what God's purpose is. That's the first evidence of it we saw. Then Jesus comes and He speaks in these riddles. His disciples say, why do you speak in riddles? Why don't you just say it like it is? Because to you, it is God's purpose because you have believed in who I am. I came and said, I've come from heaven. You said, huh, I received that. Did we see you come? No. Are you flesh and bone, just like we are? Yes. Then how do you know I came from heaven? We believe it. And since you, through your faith, have received me, you understand the parables. And here, let me explain them to you. And they understood, and so do we. But to the guy who's standing on the outskirts of this crowd, he may be a scribe, he may be a Pharisee, he may be a Sadducee, he may be a religious person, he may be just an ordinary Joe. But he's saying, I don't get all this religious mumbo jumbo. I don't understand all this stuff. Doesn't make any sense to me at all. It's God's purpose to keep him blind. Do you understand this? It's God's purpose to keep him blind. Now, how can he go from blindness to sight? All he has to say is, I believe. I believe what? I believe what he said. I believe this. And listen, beloved, if you're here today and you got some things about the kingdom of God and about this man Jesus and about what you have seen here today, perhaps you've seen some things that are confusing to you. I'm here to say to you, you will never understand what we're talking about here today until you decide that without having anything that I can verify with my natural senses, I decide to believe because this is what God said in His Word. When you say, I decide to believe, the eyes of your understanding will be opened and you will begin to get illuminated. Well, how would I do that, Pastor Vic, if I decided I wanted to do that? Well, I think, I closed my Bible, but I'm going to open it again. Turn to Proverbs. Let's go to Daniel first. You think you can find Daniel? Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling. You suppose that song is about Daniel? You don't think so? Not the same Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. The angel is speaking to Daniel here. The angel is bringing revelation, and verse 9. He says to Daniel, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried." How many of you would include yourself in that group? How about the rest of you? Well, let me see your hands then this is a way of declaring. I'm not trying to get you to do something, you know, you're not supposed to do. This is a way of declaring. This is the way your faith is expressed. A way. Don't sit there like this and say, "I don't understand." "Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly." How many of you know that as long as we continue to preach the gospel, there'll still be wicked who will continue to do wickedly? "And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Amen. None of the wicked will understand. See, there aren't any. Nobody's going to slip in unless they come by the same gate you did. There's only one way. "The wicked shall not understand, none of them, but the wise shall understand." Now jump to Proverbs and look at the 9th chapter. Proverbs 9. Oh, Lord Jesus, you are so precious. Now watch this. What's our four words today? Through faith we understand. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord, and let me interpret that, the fear of the Lord, it doesn't mean necessarily the phobic terror of the Lord. I'm terrified of the Lord, although our God is a consuming fire, and there certainly is an aspect to that. But the fear of the Lord, as being referenced here in most places in the Word of God, is to fear Him in a reverential way, to have a reverential love and fear of Him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. The more you know about what He said, the deeper will be your understanding of His ways and His thoughts. And then jump to Proverbs 28. And Proverbs 28 and verse 5. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand.
All
what?
All
what?
All
because if we seek the Lord, we're going to be motivated in faith. We're going to be increased in faith. We're going to be developed in faith. And through faith, we understand. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, let's understand here, while you're turning, let's understand that this is not blind faith. Sometimes Christians are accused of having blind faith. This isn't blind faith. This is faith based on the Word of God. It's faith based on the power of God. It's faith based on the integrity of God. It's faith based on the faithfulness of God. It's faith based on the love of God, on the honesty of God, on the nature and the character of God. It's not blind faith. I don't have a blind faith. Do you? My faith isn't blind. No. It's faith based on something. Based on what? Based on God Himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Familiar verse. We quote it often. Spiritual pastors use this verse a lot in one-on-one counseling, because it's something that all of us must learn how to do. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I want to take that verse and you could preach on that verse a week, but I want to take one word out of there and interpret the word, and it will give a whole new meaning to this verse. The word imaginations, casting down imaginations, this word imaginations in the Greek is better translated reasonings. Reasonings. Casting down reasonings and bringing our thoughts into the obedience of the knowledge of the Word of God. Everything that exalts itself against the Word of God, and that is reasonings. Well, that just doesn't make sense to me. I think I've shared this before, but it comes to my mind now, and let me just declare it briefly. I told you that I had major problems receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Major problems. I wanted it so bad, but you know what my problem was? I couldn't understand. That was my whole problem. I couldn't understand. In fact, and this is, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 a moment, and let me give you this verse, and then I'll continue with that story. 1 Corinthians 1. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, and then I think we're done. Let's see, 1 Corinthians 1, 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of the world, that is the lowest things, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now what's Paul saying? What Paul is saying is the gospel always has always gets a better response when it is preached to ordinary people. The more education you have, the more difficult it is to believe the gospel. He said, not many wise, not many well-educated, not many mighty, not many no. In other words, all of those that have risen to the top of the pile of the world, not many of them come to the kingdom of God. You know why? Because there's only one way to come. Through faith, we understand. And people who are highly educated and have their minds wonderfully schooled have been taught and are developed to not accept anything that is unprovable. That's absolute opposite of faith. If you have a good mind, if you have a good mind and you're a born-again, spirit-filled Christian who understands the things of God through faith, you are unique. You're unique. Because a mind is a wonderful thing, but it can be our greatest enemy. It almost destroyed me. I had been born again, but hadn't been baptized in the Holy Ghost, but I was seeking, but I don't understand. How many times did my wife hear me say that? I don't understand. I want to understand, but I don't understand. And so one day I went to the office, and this fellow right here in the second row, he was working in my company at that time, and he's a Thursday morning, June the 3rd, 1976. And he said, come on out the back, man. I've got to talk to you. And I did. I went out in the back to the warehouse, and just the two of us out there in the warehouse, and he began to prophesy. I mean, the Spirit of God came on him, and I felt like I was in the presence of Isaiah. I mean, it wasn't him. And I know it wasn't him because he was my employee as well as my friend. He would never have said the things to me that he said had he been just Jerry. And so he opened his mouth and started to speak. And as he was prophesying to me, I don't know if you remember this, Jerry, but I don't understand. I don't understand. And the Lord would speak, "Where did I say you were supposed to understand?" I mean, he just talked to me like, get right in my face. "Where did I say you were supposed to understand?" And that's, but I don't understand. I mean, it was the only answer I had. That's why this revelation is so critical for me personally, because I really wrestled with this. And finally, we were out there for quite a long time. And the Lord said through him, let's see if I can remember that. I hadn't thought on it in a while. He said, "Lo, these many years I have almost repented of the way I made you, because your mind has separated you, your intellect has separated you from me." Well, he scared me to death. He's absolutely scared me to death. I knew that I was in the face of the Almighty God. Here was a man I'd known for 20 years, but I know I'm in the face of the Almighty God. It's one of the reasons I love him so much, the Lord, and him too, but I mean the Lord, that he would care so much about me that he wouldn't just say, "Well, okay, you want to be one of those, you want to be one of those guys that don't understand, just go on and be one of those." But no, he kept working with me because he could see my heart. He knew my heart. And so after that was all over, then he said words to this effect. He said, "You better get this straightened out or you will surely die." Now, you might say, "Well, God would never say that to you." I'm telling you, he said it to me. He did. I turned. I walked out the front door. I got in my automobile. I drove down Fulton Industrial Boulevard and down a back road. I parked my car. I said, "Okay, Lord, we're going to get this straightened out right here and now. You said in your word that if I asked you to fill me with the Holy Spirit, you would. I did. You did. Therefore, I can praise you in this new language," and here it comes. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost right there behind the driver's, behind the wheel. Through faith, we understand all things, and without faith, we understand zero, nada, zippa, nothing. It's either faith with God or it's nothing. Now ask yourself today, what is it you don't understand? What is it you don't understand? You don't understand how a God could look in your life and love you? You don't have to understand it, not to believe it. You simply believe it because he said it. What is it you don't understand? How it is that a person could be filled with another spirit and that he could speak in a language that he's never learned. You never will understand it until you believe it. How is it that you don't understand how God could take your broken marriage and put it back together again? No, I don't believe he could do that. Well, that's why you don't understand it. Because you don't believe it, you see? And so you're going to run off and find somebody else. Just take your problems right with you. You're just going to have another problem. You're just going to bring a third person into your difficulties. Amen. Now, did I go to preaching here now instead of teaching? I mean, all of a sudden we just got real quiet. Those that fear the Lord will understand what? All things. All things. One final scripture. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse number 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God, listen, hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." God's not keeping secrets from us. He wants us to understand. He wants us to grow up and become full-fledged partners with Him in the work of the ministry, in the work of the kingdom. He's not trying to keep things away from us. He's trying to bring us up to His level so that we'll think like His thoughts, so we'll act in His ways. But the only way we're going to come up to that level is we've got to decide. If He said it, I believe it. That settles it. And whatever anybody else says, it doesn't matter what Grandpa says. It doesn't matter what Uncle Fred said. It doesn't matter what so-and-so on television said. It doesn't matter what Hank Hanegraaff wrote in his books. It doesn't matter what all these guys are saying. I hate every false way because all the things that God established in His Word are right.
Amen.
Amen. Stand to your feet if you believe that. Rise and declare. Rise and declare. Lord,
Lord,
I esteem
all thy precepts
concerning all things
to be right.
I make a decision today
to believe what you said.
Not because I understand it, but because I know you're honest. And you always tell the truth.
You are truth.
And therefore, if you said it,
it's right,
and it's true,
and I believe it,
and the understanding will follow.
And then I'll be able to explain it
to myself
and to others
who will have faith
just like I did.
I can understand all things.
I can have a perception
that's like yours,
that
concerning everything.
I can rise up to your level
and think like you do
and act like you do
and do the things you do
and understand it while I'm doing it.
Because through faith,
I understand.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory.